Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, January 28, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. We are gathering the next soul group to go with us in our Crystal Quest to Arkansas, which will be starting on Pleiadian lineup, which is May 17th, and it'll extend through the 23rd. If you have the required star markings on your natal or progress chart, which are 25, 26, 27 degrees of Taurus, Scorpio, Capricorn, Cancer, Aquarius, or Leo, then you are part of the soul group having the rites of passage to participate. So if you feel the call of the crystals, please send us an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com and we'll send you more information. I've just released a new CD of my music, so check our website for the link to hear some samples. This is a collection of 22 songs of inspiration, and you can read more about that on our site. Well, we have an incredibly gifted artist and celestial channel with us this evening, internationally known as Lightstar. She's a visual attunement artist using her channeling gifts to reveal your divine light codes and natural state in beautifully magical artwork. Because she speaks at least 12 different galactic languages, she serves as a transmitter for the galactic, angelic, and ascended master realms. She holds degrees in sociology and natural health and a doctorate in traditional naturopathy and 8 other certifications in energetic healing and bodywork, as well as being the co-founder of StarseedAllianceInternational.com. So please be sure to visit her website to see her stunningly beautiful work at SusanGoldwag.com, and that's Susan, S-U-S-A-N, Goldwag, G-O-L-D-W-A-G.com. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseeds. And we'd like to thank Fiona for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292, and do remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And if you like our show, we'd appreciate your support by clicking follow on our show page. Our main site, StarseedHotline.com, has been coded for Starseed activation and holds a wealth of Starseed information in our vault. We also have a forum online for Starseeds at StarseedHotline.ning.com. And we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. And you can find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or you can also download them right from our show page archives. If you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please give us about 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you get it in time. And we also have Stage 2 readings to interpret those energies. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies.
Well, Lavendar here. We have kind of really cold snap weather coming through Oklahoma. So how about you, Anastasia? What do you have where you live?
Yes, indeedy. One below. One
below. Gosh.
Freezing. Yeah, it's
not
really
that cold,
cold
here, but we've had snow in Atlanta, almost two inches. And I know for some of you that's a joke, but for Atlanta, it's a big deal.
It's a real phenomenon. That's part of tonight's news because it isn't just Georgia. It's the whole Southeast. We're going to talk about that. So I want to start tonight's news by sharing an email from one of our listeners. His name is Glenn. Thank you, Glenn, so much for writing. And I'm going to read this to all of you listeners. He said, "Hi, Anastasia. Recently, I've been slowly catching up with many of the Starseed Hotline radio shows that I usually don't have time to listen over the last few months for various reasons." And he said, "First, I want to say that I just love your news reports and the insights and thoughts you share. I thank you for bringing so many interesting things and updates to our awareness. With respect to the Fukushima situation, I came across something that you may already know, and if not, I'd like to share it with Starseed. The information is about a sound meditation by Tom Kenyon, because it gives me, or us, as a Starseed family, a way to assist with helping with the Fukushima situation just through our love and intent to do so. We are one, after all." And he says he gave Tom Kenyon's website, which is tomkenyon.com/Fukushima. And this is a meditation. He goes on to say that perhaps you may wish to consider sharing this with our Starseed listeners and offer all the options to engage in a meaningful contribution to the situation instead of being just bystanders. All it takes is 3 to 4 minutes a day. With love, light, and blessings, Glenn. So thank you so much, Glenn, for sharing this with us, and I just put it out there for Starseed. There is somebody who's coming forward with some suggestions that could be very meaningful. So thank you so much. And to all of you who write to me, bless you. I just so appreciate it, all that you do to contribute to this show. Well, I want to let you know that the Chinese moon rover is in trouble. Chinese moon rover, which they have dubbed the Jade Rabbit, made a historic landing in Sinus Iridium, the Bay of Rainbows, on the moon on December 14th, but now it's in trouble. They say that night is falling over the rover's landing site, and the rover should be going into hibernation to preserve its power. But China's space agency is reporting that a mechanical anomaly may be interfering with the hibernation process. And if so, the Jade Rabbit might not survive the extreme cold up there, negative 180 degrees centigrade. It says that it's just about ready to go into 2 weeks of lunar night. They say that if the rover fails, they still consider it to be a success for China, which is now a member of the exclusive club of nations on planet Earth that have landed on the moon. And the old sunspot is returning, and solar activity is now beginning to ramp up. A large sunspot is emerging over the sun's southeastern limb, and it appears to be AR-1944. It's returning after a two-week trip around the far side of the sun. Now, this is interesting, you guys. I really didn't know this. All this reporting I've done on the sun, this is the first that I've discovered this, but they say that according to tradition, sunspots that circle around the far side of the sun are always renumbered when they return. So the new designation of AR-1944 is AR-1967. And they say that this particular sunspot is as big as the Earth. And earlier this month, this sunspot did produce an X1-class solar flare, one of the strongest radiation storms of this current solar cycle. And they wonder if it's going to kick up again. So they say that Earth-orbiting satellites have detected at least 5 M-class solar flares since yesterday. So it's starting to ramp up a bit. And there is big news in astronomy, you guys, big news. There's an exploding supernova so close that it can be seen through binoculars.
Wow.
And this has just been discovered. An exploding star, if you can just feature this, suddenly appeared in the night sky just a couple of days ago. It's just dazzling astronomers because they are searching for dark matter, and they've never seen a supernova so close to our solar system in more than 20 years. And like I said, it just emerged in the last few days. They say it's a bright light in Messier 82, also known as the Cigar Galaxy, about 12 million light years away in the constellation Ursa Major, or the Great Bear. It is positioned between the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, and they say that this new supernova should be easy for sky watchers in the northern hemisphere to see, even with a pair of binoculars. Wow, so much activity out there. It's amazing. And we're so lucky to live in a time when we get to see this with our technology and all of our little instruments and telescopes and satellites and all of that. We just get to witness so much of this. We really are living in an amazing time. Well, in my neck of the woods, there have been unexplained loud jolting booms that have shaken houses in Kentucky and Illinois. For the past 2 days in a row, people in Livingston County, Kentucky, have reported hearing loud jolting booms. Now, the local news station got more than 500 comments on their Facebook page from people who say that they've heard and felt these booms all across western Kentucky and southern Illinois. Now, public safety officials are trying to figure this out, and they don't know what's causing it. People said it just shook the whole neighborhood and shook all the houses. Stuff rattled on the shelves. Everybody was coming out in the neighborhood wondering what in the world was happening, and some people even wondered if we're being invaded. So really alarming to the people in that neck of the woods, really caused a big stir. In fact, it's been going on. This isn't the only time. Within the last few weeks, this is a continuance of booms over that part of the United States. And another mysterious boom was heard Sunday over parts of central Virginia. CBS News 6, or WTVR, received a number of reports Sunday afternoon about yet another, again, it's a repetitive thing, that was heard, another boom that was heard in parts of central Virginia. And this news station received hundreds of calls about this. Now, they say officials have not been able to tie the booms to one specific area, and they've reported that since mid-December, they cannot find any reason for this. They said it was not coming from any of the forts, Fort Lee or Fort Pickett. It wasn't coming from rock quarries. It wasn't a transformer explosion or a sonic boom. Well, you know, that's interesting, you guys, because often it's just left hanging. There isn't any investigation, and nobody knows where it's coming from. In this particular story, they have ruled out all of the obvious things. And so where are these coming from? Well, listen on. And Canadians are now buying potassium iodide in bulk because they are afraid of the contamination of the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima. Health officials in the coastal Canadian province of British Columbia are now cautioning residents to, not take so much potassium iodide. Reports have been circulating that potassium iodide has been flying off the shelves at drugstores because people are worried about radiation from the ocean. And so that is the 3D way that people are dealing with Fukushima. Wildfires are raging in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Did you guys know anything about that? This just started yesterday. They're battling a 50-acre wildfire northwest of Lake Ocheeta. Is that how I say that? Ocheeta State Park near Hot Springs.
Ouachita.
They say that, what is it, Ariel?
Ouachita.
Oh, I might have figured. Okay. Never sounds like it looks. But Forest Service officials say the blaze began about noon on Friday. They closed all the trails within the Lake Little Blakely Trail System. And the cause of the fire is still under investigation. Now, they say the fire is located in a very remote location away from all private lands or structures. And they think that it was going to burn through. Well, actually, it was still burning yesterday. So I guess it's still burning maybe today. I didn't check today. Now, the daytime temperature is currently like 37 in Hot Springs. So what's up with these winter wildfires? They've been going on all over the Midwest and the West. But connected to this may be some fireball sightings. There was a meteor fireball seen by many in Oklahoma and Texas just a few days ago. And as a result of that, a Roanoke, Texas couple found meteorites in their front yard. So they went out scouting after they heard about the fireballs. Maybe they saw them, I don't know, but picked up handfuls of meteorite pieces from their front yard. And there have been meteor fireballs, loud booms, and strange sky sounds reported over Oklahoma. Just a few days ago, a meteor fireball was seen over Oklahoma and Texas, with reports also coming in from Arkansas, which is interesting because it just may connect to the Arkansas wildfire. They say that thousands of people in Tulsa heard and felt a very loud boom. It was heard indoors, and it shook windows and rattled doors. So something going on there. And again, as we've already discussed at the beginning of this show, there is a rare winter storm that is bringing ice and snow down to the southern United States. And they say that it's been sleet and ice, and it's prompting people that are accustomed to more moderate weather, like Ariel, to just kind of hunker down. And temperatures in these parts of the South, are going to be as cold as minus 30 Fahrenheit tonight. Now, that is really cold for the South. Have you gotten your prediction for your area, Ariel, on the lows for tonight?
Well, that must be a wind chill factor because I haven't seen
anything
about... It
is a wind chill factor. Yes.
Yeah,
they said it could feel as cold as.
Right,
yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, for me, like anything
probably
under 45 is pretty dang cold. So, yeah, people in the South,
yeah,
they hunker down like it's a blizzard if the temperatures get cold and if there's one flake of snow.
Right, exactly. Well, this is affecting Louisiana and Alabama and all those states around you. So it's very unusual and probably startling. And I understand the roads are going to be icy because there's going to be maybe sleet, freezing rain, things like that in different areas around you. And in Sweden, at the bottom of the Baltic Sea, they have discovered an 11,000-year-old settlement. Now, a team of divers from Södertörn University has uncovered artifacts from what could be the oldest known settlement in Sweden, and they're calling it Sweden's Atlantis. They found 11,000-year-old objects at the bottom of the Baltic Sea, and they say that they have been exceptionally preserved because of that particular kind of sediment in that particular part of the ocean and a lack of oxygen. They found organic objects, not just stone objects, and they say that one of the most impressive finds was a harpoon-carved animal bone, a harpoon made from an animal bone, and the bones of an auroch, a cattle-like animal that became extinct in the 17th century. Wow. And this is very interesting. They are working on the invention of a sugar battery. They hope to get this working within 3 years. Now, researchers from Virginia Tech have developed a sugar battery. They call it the sugar-powered bio-battery that they say stores 10 times more energy than the equivalent-size lithium-ion batteries found in smartphones. Now, this team at Virginia Tech said that they plan to have this operational within 3 years, and recharging these batteries could be a matter of simply adding more sugar. They say sugar is a perfect energy storage compound in nature, and they say it's only logical that we try to harness this natural power in an environmentally friendly way to produce a battery. Is that cool?
Wow.
That is just amazing. What we are capable of. And this is a story courtesy of Lavendar, who forwarded it to me. And in Germany, 90 flatulent cows started a fire in a dairy farm. They say that methane gas was released by 90 flatulent cows, and it caused an explosion in a farm shed in Germany. It damaged the roof and injured some of the animals, actually one of the animals. And in a statement, the police force there in that town said high levels of the methane gas had built up within the structure, and it was because of the animals' belches and flatulence before a static electric discharge caused the gas to explode with flashes of flames. So Reuters has reported that they took examinations, I guess, to get gas readings to see if there were any potential further blasts. But apparently the blast that went off consumed all of the loose gas, so the area has been pronounced safe and no longer a hazard. So anyway, they say that animals can emit up to 500 liters of greenhouse gas methane every day through belching and flatulence. So, and they say cows also release large amounts of ammonia. So that's our news for tonight, ladies. I'm looking forward to the show.
Well,
you know, Lavendar,
when
you sent me that article, I thought, oh, that can't be. That has to be a spoof. And I researched it, and sure enough, that's a real story. 90 cows in one barn. Wow. So, wow.
Maybe for ventilation.
Yeah, more ventilation.
That's
okay.
I'm sorry. Sorry that a cow was injured, but it's still kind of a funny thing to think about.
Yeah, right. Well, you all keep warm and keep your eyes to the sky. Let me know if you see any fireballs.
Will do. Thank you so much, Anastasia, for the Starseed News. And now, Lavendar, would you introduce our guest?
Okay, well... Is she on?
Yes, she's on the switchboard.
Okay, bring her on.
I'm bringing her on now. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Lavendar,
Hello.
Take it away.
Okay. Well, Susan.
Hi.
I'm very impressed with your website and your work, and I'd like to, though, really kind of start from the beginning when you first became aware of your gifts, and tell us a little bit about your maybe childhood or things that brought you to know what you know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, and I love what you do. I want to honor what you do as well. I go by the name Lightstar, and we can talk about that later, but typically I go by the name Lightstar, and that is actually what my artwork is called, Lightstar Visual Attunement Art, so it came out of that. And I actually have a very corporate background. I worked in marketing communications for over 25 years, so I was really... I'd say very much in that corporate-minded mode, and I want to say not as awakened. I was always a spiritually-minded person, so I always had that with me, and that also came from my family. My parents were also open-minded to spirituality, but I really hadn't gone to the real awakening stage of the starseed and all of that until I actually moved to Sedona, which... you know, does that for a lot of people, but my life changed prior to that happening. I had worked with graphic design for all those years, but more in a corporate setting. And now my artwork started to shift and change and go a lot different than corporate. I started to do some channeling here, and some things happened to me and shifted that I went to these other realms, these other worlds, and started to bring back some more fairy and angelic and otherworldly, magical, and galactic type of artwork. And that's how it sort of came about in that process. So I did have some, you know, other awakenings that happened, but the starseed was more of a slow process. And it was more of a trying to decipher what was what, and but my artwork really helped to shift that. It helped to bring me back to the young child, you know, like imagination and all of those things that I didn't really have in the forefront, but they became in the forefront later. I mean, there were things that were always there. I always had fairies around me, but didn't necessarily know it until later. So that's kind of a synopsis of how that came about and how my artwork came about. And then it sort of offshooted from there with doing psychic and channeling and all sorts of other things.
So what year did you move to Sedona?
That was actually in 2010, I believe, is when I moved here. And it was right earlier on is when the market started crashing and everyone was losing their jobs and all of that. And I was sort of the last tail end of someone in the realm that I was in to actually have that happen to me as well. So that is what sort of threw me into, I really was feeling it for a while, so it didn't totally surprise me that I needed to do some shifting and changing. But as a lot of people understand and know, when that happened, their rug got pulled out from under them with what they knew of what they were doing for work, then things had to change. And so when I moved here in 2010, it was really a haphazard way I moved here. I didn't intend to move here. And some people come to Sedona and they actually intend to move there because they want to. And for me, it was a bit different. So it I sort of ended up here. And I guess I'd say Sedona wanted me to stay here for the time that I'm here. So when Sedona says you stay, you stay. And when Sedona says you leave, you leave. You know what I mean?
Yes, I had a cabin in Elk Creek Canyon for about 3 months. Had some very
nice
ET experiences there. Also had a house in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I was down in that area quite a bit. And you're right. It's like the rocks give you permission to stay or they give you instructions to leave.
Exactly. Well, and sometimes you're here for what you're here for. And then when you're done, you know, you need to take your whatever healing or new gifts or whatever you got here out to the world. So I say that you're not needed here, but, you know, it's really Sedona is like living. I mean, there's vortexes all around Sedona, but Sedona itself is just one big giant vortex. So we're all living in it here. And it was never truly meant to be lived here. You know, it was meant for vision quests and things like that, and then you kind of go out, but you don't live here. So it's a whole different experience living here.
Right.
But I love it anyways.
we have a lot of listeners from Sedona.
Yes.
So do you have like a practice? Do people come to you for sessions there?
Yeah, I do sessions actually on Skype and email and phone and in Sedona. But we have I'm also on a group or involved with a group called Team Light. There's a lot of us here. So that, you know, just a group of really amazing people that we've actually connected with. So hi to all the Sedona people out there.
Okay, great. So I noticed in some of the materials that you sent to me that you were talking about how you were connected to different star languages. And, of course, we're really tied into the Pleiadian network. So do you have anything you'd like to share with us about your Pleiadian star language?
Yeah, well, the Universal Galactic Languages started coming in probably about a year. It may not be quite even a year. And basically how all these languages started to come in, including the Pleiadian, was really through a very intense download process. So it happened over the course of 2 weeks, and I did speak a language since I was 9, and that was my original mantra language directly to Creator God. But it was like it started to come out with more languages as I went on, and they slowly came. But in a 2-week period, something happened. I think it was shortly after a time period you were talking about the Pleiadian lineup, and it was really right around that time period that it just came like a lightning bolt, and I was getting at least a language a day. I mean, I got like 8 languages in 2 weeks. It was just one after the other after the other. So it was kind of like, I guess, a portal opened and some information needed to come through. And, the Pleiadian language is so beautiful. I love that language. It's very similar, I want to say, in energetics to some of the other languages, like the Elven language I speak, the Fairy language. It's very flowing and lyrical and beautiful. And then some of the other languages that come in from either Andromedan or Syrian or some of these haven't been totally identified yet, but, you know, pre-Mayan, pre-Asian, pre-Egyptian types of things are a little bit more of stronger, you know, energetics. So, but I've been able to have these languages come through and use them in my sessions as well for people, because I find that these languages tend to help unlock starseeds in particular, but it also help. But, you know, certain languages help certain people to awaken and have their own remembrances, because, I mean, we all are from somewhere else. We're, you know, there's some earthbound people here, but, you know, it's definitely very common for people to recognize these languages, may not understand them from, you know, the language itself word for word. And when I do my own, I want to say, translation of these languages, they don't come word for word like we know of as, you know, languages here. They come as more from the heart, and it's more of a overall message, if you know what I mean. So that's why I said the translations don't always correlate, but we always tell people to listen, you know, listen with your heart, open that, and you actually sometimes, a lot of people can actually understand it from that place, but not from the mind.
Well, you know, when I do sessions and I have people print out their charts, there is a pattern in a chart that is a language. And I tell my clients to, you know, laminate them, stick them on the refrigerator, look at them daily, because it's a language that's speaking to you. It's a celestial, music playing at another level.
Exactly.
All the trines and squares, and it's a combination of your cosmic bank account shows your debit
right.
credits. So that's very similar to what you're saying. So the galactic languages come in many different forms. Like I know there's certain languages that I have heard aboard ship, which are, you know, they may be one sentence, but that one sentence may be equivalent to 30 volumes
exactly.
of information.
Yep. That is so true. Yeah, we can't, we tend to, even myself, got brought up in a very analytical upbringing, so I tend to, that's what I went through as well. Let's, what does that mean, right? What does that word? And it's like, it's not like that. And some of these languages are very, when I speak, it's not even really a language, I'm going to say in the per se language, I do this thing called angelic toning, because the angelic language for me is very difficult to speak because it actually is more of a song, or it comes through more like song, like tones, like it's vibrations. And so it's very, I have to do that in, that sort of toning. And so it comes out that way. And that, so each language is very different, and it's not going to be understood by the mind. We wish we could understand it in that way, but if we do that, we're just really mainly being in 3D and not unlocking our, galactic selves to be able to go beyond that, or in energetics or the fairies, the elven, which are mostly more tied to the earthbound, which people, I find it seems like the earthbound, I want to say earthbound, but languages that are more tied to the earthly realms are very well received by most people. And they really understand that realm, because I think just like the fairy realm and, even the angelic realm, they're more, I want to say, accepted in this day and age. When we talk about going to the languages that are, either Syrian or Pleiadian or something of that nature, Andromedan, that's where I feel, only certain people resonate with those like starseeds. And then some people think, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? So not all people resonate with every one of those languages. But what I do, I try to tune into, in my sessions, the person, and kind of get to feel what language might be best for them or what might help them the most.
So could you give us like a synopsis of something that's happened with a client after you have, given them this toning or this angelic language? Can you give us, you don't have to name a person, but just give us an example of someone that you've helped with it where they were able to unlock their codes?
Yeah, well, the angelic toning is, that specific language has really been effective in helping to remind people of, if someone comes in really stressed out, or someone is like really stressed and anxiety, or something's really going on with them and they can't seem to kind of feel, their heart's beating, they're just kind of not grounded. But actually the angelic languages has helped to just be, it's like calming. So it has this calming effect. It has this feeling of going home, for a lot of people. And that's happened, repeatedly. Different things happen with different people in my sessions, obviously, but that's been a sort of a general sense, a consensus, is that it's just this amazing feeling of just peace, and all of that anxiety just kind of dropped. Some people have felt like they're just, a weight just fell off their shoulders, and just feeling like an angelic, like, because really what I do in that is kind of an invocation, I want to say, to bring the angelics here, so that people can actually have the angelic energy around them, that they can feel it, that they can actually experience it. And that causes all of that, to happen, with the calming and the soothing and just that lessening anxiety and things of that nature. The Pleiadian and other languages, I had, especially with the Pleiadian, I've had this happen with two different clients where they really were interested in the Pleiadian language. And because they were Pleiadian, so that's why. But the interest was, I can't, they were like, I can't really speak the language, but I had something come through, and it sounded like that, but I'm not sure. And so there was a bit of uncertainty. And what I found that, my guidance system was just speak the language for them, and allow them to feel comfortable. And so actually, as I spoke the language and just allowed that to come through, the other person, I said, now you just do the same. You know, just let it come through. Allow it to come through. And they just completely let it go and were able to unlock that and speak, you know, more effectively in that. Because it sort of, I don't want to say it gives them permission, but I feel, even for myself when I was speaking it in the beginning, it's kind of a, what am I doing? You know, your analytical mind gets in the way and you're like, this sounds weird and I don't know, that doesn't sound right, or I don't know. You know, so there's a lot of things that go through with that where if you get out of that mental state of it, you can allow that to come through. So I've seen that happen. And just giving, I want to say, people permission to be able to speak it. And I've had some people also tell me, well, I can write the language or I can sing the language, but I can't speak it. And I always say just for myself to that, I feel that everyone has the ability to speak at least one language that is their original, I want to say their original language. And like I said, mine came in when I was 9, but that was my original language to God. I mean, that's kind of almost my prayer language that is straight to Creator. Now, we all have that. So when someone says I can't really speak galactic or a star language or a light language, then I always say, yes, you can. You know, it's something that you have to unlock and allow that to happen, but everybody can. Now, not everybody can speak, you know, on, say, like 12, 15, 20 languages, but it is possible. And everybody does get it in a different way. Some people may feel more comfortable with writing it or just singing it. You know, that's just, and that's fine. But to go push beyond that, to allow it to come through in other forms, is just a matter of trusting and accepting that that's possible.
I noticed that you have written here 12 universal galactic languages. When I started doing astrology, I was taken to another place to see the 12 time zones that were hooked up to our astrological system here. And there was a language, it was a universal code language that actually, they weren't separate. There was one language for all 12. I was given it one time. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. There's probably, I can't even imagine how many languages are actually, you know, there. Because think about how many races that we have, many ET races that, you know, we can't possibly. I was told I actually have more languages than this in my, as I know, from what I learned, that's one of my star jobs, what I call my starseed jobs up there, is one of the diplomats or, you know, translators. And sometimes I liken myself to, everybody knows Star Trek, right? I sort of liken myself to a combination between Deanna Troi and Uhura, Lieutenant Uhura, who speaks all those languages. So, there's so much out there. And I know I haven't even gotten probably all of them that I know, but, you know, within the context of what I have right now, you know, it's kind of growing all the time. But I did, you know, a lot of them poured in at one time. And I know that others will be coming.
So, you know, as I've been tracking for several years these 25, 26, 27 degree star charts, I've also noticed that the bloodlines that they're carrying, it's, the scientists say, well, that's junk DNA and we don't know what it is. Well, I know what it's these stars.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they come in all kinds of forms. It's called, they're seed crystals in the blood. There's actual quartz. There's some kind of, like snowflakes. They're really tiny and they don't show up on anything that we have here, but when the ships, you know, take someone's blood and look at it, they can actually tell what galactic frequency they're from. They can tell just so much information because of the crystalline structure. And it has to do with language.
That's interesting, the connection with the crystalline structure.
Yeah, yeah. So when a person hears it, and if they have it in their system, and if you activate it in them, it's like their little eyes wake up. All those little you know, all those little snowflakes wake up, their little eyes wake up, and they go, ooh, it's time to do something now.
Right. Well, that's why I say I think everybody can tap into that. You know, everyone has that ability to tap in to their own language, to their own language to God, as well as the language they're from originally, regardless where it is, you know, in the universe or universes or dimensions.
So you put this on canvas. So you have people, you custom their portraits.
The portrait sessions that I do are, you know, where I actually tune in to a person by their picture. They can send me a portrait of themselves, a picture of, you know, headshot or a full body if they want to do that. And I tune into their energy and create and I can tune into whatever energetics come to me, and I will create an image specifically for them. Now, a lot of times they look like my otherworldly, you know, image. If I get I have one client that I did, and it's on my website, which you guys can, you know, go check out. It's lightstarcreations.com. But the shop in there shows the images that I do, and one of them I just tuned in, and I got elven, kind of an elven warrior-esque content for her. And so we created this whole little world, and she wanted to use it for her website as well as some other things. So I really tune into their frequency, their energy, and create a custom image that is specifically for them. And that's for the attunement art type of, art that I do. I also have another custom session that is called my Kodamic Integration Session. And this is really unique, where I'm actually... It doesn't necessarily look like the other artwork that I do, which is all the sacred color rays and channeled all the information into the art that I produce for the general public, I want to say. The Kodamic Integration Sessions are very specific to the individual. And I started to be able to see codes that are in that person's energy and frequency, whether coming above them, around them, certain colors that are around them, and it's like if you were, you know, getting a download or something, but you didn't really know how to assimilate it or understand it or what's happening. You know something you're getting, but you don't know how to decipher it. And I'm able to tune in and just draw that. So I'm hand-drawing those images, and they usually look like light language and codes, and divine light codes is basically what it is. And then I utilize those digitally, add the color and the enhancements, and that is a specific image just for them. So their images that particular thing is something that they would use, like by their nightstand, meditate with it, you know, have it in your energy so that you see it. And what it does, it's like it's another way to bypass some of the mental and analytical processing that we talk, you know, it's like we do talk therapy and that's awesome and it works and it's great. But sometimes we need something to just go beyond that because maybe we're too wrapped up in that and we're not getting the full meaning of it. We're not feeling the full assimilation of what's going on or any of that. And that is what this helps to do. And over the course of months, usually what ends up happening is that image tends to unlock some things inside of you, awaken, or even in the dream state, and helps to process that either download or images or code that's around you. So it's a very unique and very fascinating session that I do. I love doing all my custom work, but both of them are very different. So one's like a magical world that you can create, and the other one is a magical world, but more in a not-so-linear look.
Let me ask you about music. Do you write music, or is music part of your presentation?
I am not a musician per se, but I do, I have a CD that I put out that's actually all my channeling work. And it has music in the background, not that I actually produce, you know, myself, but I was able to really tune in and put some activational music together. So it's more on the lines of, putting things together so that it activates. But I don't actually play an instrument or anything like that at this moment. Some members of my family do, but that's just not something that has come through yet, right? We never leave these things out. But I do feel it's something that might come forth. Sound healing would probably be more in the lines of how that would come for me than specifically like instruments and music. And like I said, the angelic toning is kind of singing, even though I'm not necessarily a trained singer or any of that. But voice and, you know, voice toning with activational music is more what I'm also moving more into for my CDs and things in that nature.
Okay, give us your website again. What is it?
They can find it. It actually is lightstarcreations.com, or they can go to susangoldwag.com. They'll both take them to the same place. And then they can click on the store link and see all of these things we're talking about, all my sessions, different artwork that I sell, and all of that. And I actually, you know, provide on the images that I have, I also have some additions that I put on, the Swarovski crystal additions, which really make my images pop and or further adds to the frequency. And, all my sessions on there. And but they can go to either one of those websites and it'll take them to wherever they want to go.
So I noticed that you have channeled automatic writing sessions. How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Some of my channeling has moved, the general universal channeling has moved to the CDs, where that's universal channeling as well as the music. My specific custom, I want to say, channeling through the automatic writing is for individuals. And so I will tune in through, this is all through email, so I actually would email the person a report, either a one-hour session or a two-hour session, depending on how in-depth they want to go. But I just tune into whatever is around that person. So it could be guides, angels, beings that want to come in and provide them with messages that will help them. I always, sacred color ray is just a part of my artwork. It's a part of me. It's a part of everything I do. So sacred color is going to be in basically everything that I do. And it's also in the channeling, because I always get what colors are around that person and that type of thing. So so that's the type of thing where I tune in and I will just go. I used to do it like automatic writing in terms of writing. Now it's switched to obviously automatic typing. And I just pretty much go to that high, pure state, tune in, and allow the information to come through. All my information that I provide for people is, straight from the highest pure source. And I don't really, I'm psychic and intuitive and all of that, but my intuitive and empathic and psychic skills are used in these sessions, my interdimensional starseed alignment sessions, it's used in there, but it's not used for the regular way of psychic readings. It's really more of a way to empower you. So all the information is more to empower you to make transformations. And that's what happens in the channeling session and all my other sessions as well.
Okay. So I've noticed for me personally, and a lot of my clients are talking about seeing these numbers that keep coming up on clocks, 222, 444, 555, 1111. Do you have something that you'd like to share with us? Has it been happening for you too?
Oh, yeah, and especially, first it was just the double digits, or, like 22 or 11 or 33. And, the clock, it's been frequently where the last, I want to say year especially, I have been seeing on the clock, and I'm talking in one day, I will see, say it's 111, 111. Then the next hour, I'll see 222. The next hour, 333. It has gone all the way till, 5 o'clock, like every hour. And I don't, that's happened a lot. That's why I started thinking, why am I seeing this specifically all the time, every single hour? And it would happen like days at a time, or maybe a day goes by. We just see them everywhere, not even just on the clock, but every place, times and everything. So these are further activations for a lot of us too. It's not just, this is like, okay, step on your path, but now it's like, okay, really, you know, we're getting further activated, we're getting further downloads, we're being, you know, these awakenings and things like that, and these master numbers that help us to do that. Because it's like everything else. I feel everything else is speeding up so fast that it's the same with the numbers. We're speeding up so fast that now that's why we're seeing them a lot more than we did. It's just like everything else. It's just we're on this, you know, fast track. And, you know, it's quite the challenge sometimes to keep up. But I know for myself, my partner as well, Stans with Bear, we all have been seeing this a lot, and it's happening frequently. So, you know, that's my take on it, is just a further activation. It's getting stronger. It's getting more and more. But everybody has a different take on it. So I'm curious to know what you think about it as well.
I think they're codes that are released something in our brain will say, look at the clock, except you don't hear look at the clock. Your just eyes just go there. You just go there. And then after it happens, I think there's something that unlocks in your bloodline, in your system. And I don't think you'll have a translation of it right away. I think you're building a tapestry of information that comes out later.
Yep. I think it's awesome. I actually really like it. So, but it never got, you're right, because I never got to the point where I was like mentally going, okay, I know I'm going to probably look at the clock, you know. You do it and then forget about it, and then, you know, it happens without you even knowing it, because most of the time an hour goes by or day goes by and you forget about it. So, and then it happens
tonight,
again.
And I will, I'll wake up and I'll just look at the clock, and it'll...
Yep.
You know, and it'll say 2:22, and then I'll go back to sleep. And then I wake up, and it goes 3:33.
Exactly.
Every hour. Every
I know.
Hour. Like.
And didn't you in the beginning say, what is this? You know, there's something to this.
Of course.
Not just random.
Good, but we can't possibly, you know, get the answer because we only have one thread of the tapestry.
Yeah. Yeah, and we actually, a lot of times we looked up Doreen Virtue actually has a book that has all these numbers and what they mean in terms of the, you know, if it's like the angelics are around you, and, you know, 555 is, you know, all about change, and 444 is specific to the, you know, whatever it is. And we were reading those for a while just to, you know, get some kind of feedback on it, even though I don't, you know, that's an amazing, like, one take on it. But obviously, like, I believe there's definitely much more encodement that's coming than just that, but it was very interesting. So we had a lot of fun with it around here. Every hour, we're like, "What's
the name
that?
Of that book? And who's the author?"
It's Doreen Virtue. It's a little tiny book, and I can't remember the name of it, to be honest. But it's I'm sure you can find it through Doreen Virtue, just going on to her website or all her books. But it's a little book, a little pamphlet, and it has every number, all the triple digit numbers and things of that nature, and they describe what it is. It was helpful in the beginning to look at it, and then, you know, you can go beyond it after that, but it was really helpful. And I, like I said, I don't remember the exact name of it, but I know you'll find it, you'll know what it is, and I know she has a lot of books, but it's a small book, so that helps.
Okay, it's kind of like painting with numbers, right?
Yeah, and it's just, and that's the whole book. It's all about the numbers.
Yeah.
And what they mean. And actually, you know what? You don't even, I know I found it online. I found it online when I was searching for, you know, what triple digits mean, and I found that information of hers online. So that's another way to find it.
You know, I've heard, I haven't seen, but I've heard that the 555 is actually on the Pope's hat. Have you heard
that?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, change needed to happen there, so that makes sense. That's funny.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I would like to... Ariel, are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. You can hear
okay,
me?
Well, I think it's time to ask you to come on, and if we have any listeners that want to call in and talk to her, to Susan, or I guess we call her Lightstar, to Lightstar.
Yeah.
She's available to maybe answer some questions. Are you up for that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, it's been really, really wonderful talking to you, and I'm so glad.
Oh, thank
that
you.
We've had the, you know, we've talked before, we've had sessions, And I hold the greatest light for you for your work in Sedona, and we definitely want you to come back and be a guest on our show anytime you have anything new or something that we need to know about. You just
We'll
have you back on. So now
That's so awesome, and thank you for having me on here. I didn't know if I'd do the. I wanted to talk about the package special that I have for your listeners, but do I do that after the Q&A?
You can do it now.
Okay.
Now.
Well, I just have something that I wanted to share because this is specific to your listeners. I put a package on my store, on my website, that basically has to do with offering you guys. It's on my website store, but it's giving you one, if you purchase one of my custom images that, you know, I create for you, you would get $77 off that, and it actually includes a free 8x10 of that image with the Swarovski crystals on it, as well as a digital download of my CDs free as well. So if you go to my store, or my website at lightstarcreations.com, and you can click on the store, and if you go to the package specials, you'll see the package special name is actually named Starseed Radio Academy. And all you have to do to receive the 77 off is to put the coupon code in when you order, and the coupon code is Lavendar. So it's and that's, I believe, on the link. You guys have it on your radio show as well.
Right.
I think the link is on there. But I just wanted to offer that because that's specific to your listeners, and I don't know how long I'm going to have it on there, but I wanted to put it up there for a while for you guys.
Well, thank you.
Great, because, you know, people sometimes go back in our archives to listen. So if you could, you know, keep it up there at least for a couple of weeks, that would really be
great.
Yeah,
I was thinking about a month probably. So that's perfect timing. So, yeah, I'll leave it up there for that. And the other thing, too, for people, just if they want to go to our organization that myself and Stands With Bear, my partner, Beloved, also created as a co-creator, it's StarseedAllianceInternational.com. And that's where we're going to be doing some really great things for the Starseeds. That's who we work with primarily. And we have some videos from our last conference that we have up there. You can purchase some live, basically streaming videos. Some new ones from the last presentations, and learn all about what we're doing and get on our mailing list as well. So I wanted to throw that out there as well. And we do a lot of things with other Starseed communities and different things, like we're a part of Team Light, and that was put together by Ryan DeRowan. And we do a Team Light Live every month. So we do live video, YouTube videos, Q&A sessions, and you can send in your questions to support at unitethecollective.com, and we answer them live on the session. So that's really great for people to get information as well. So they can check that out probably on my Facebook page as well. So I just wanted to throw those things out there.
Well, great. We are going to open up the switchboard here in a minute, so anyone who is listening, if you have a question or comment for Lightstar, please just press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And while we're waiting, we have one person already that's clicked in, so we got to wait for them to get out of the screening room. But while we're waiting for that, I just kind of wanted to make the comment as I was listening to your conversation about the numbers and the repeating of numbers. This is something that's been happening, I mean, all of my life. And it just occurred to me while you were talking is that, because this, I hear this a lot from a lot of people, as I'm sure you do,
mm-hmm.
that they notice, and the pattern just gets so repetitive, and people,
yeah.
as you say, they try to figure it out with their mental analytical, and you really can't. But even beyond what that those numbers specifically may mean, it makes people think that there's something beyond the third dimension going on,
mm-hmm.
and that in itself has value.
Yes, it does.
People have.
I agree.
People have synchronicities, and
mm-hmm.
and certainly synchronicities with those numbers is one kind. But when you start having a snowstorm, which is on my mind right now because it's snowing in Atlanta. But when you just have an inundation of things that just line up, and it's one thing after another, seeming, you know, coincidences. Even if you don't understand how to track them or string them together and make sense out of it, the point is that it gets you searching.
Right. And I know that, you know, that is so, you know, when you talk about synchronicities, you know, a lot of times I've noticed too, and that's why I got that book was actually really helpful in the beginning, because maybe I was like, you know, right before, you know, 444 or something, before I actually looked at it, I had been feeling like, oh gosh, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, nervous about this, or I'm not sure about that, or uncertain, or whatever it was, right? And then the thing happens where it's just 444, and then we'd immediately go, okay, what does that mean? And we'd pull out the book, and it would say something very, very specific to what I was just freaking out about or something. Or if it's, you know, it is very interesting to say the synchronicity of what you're feeling, and then to see that activation or whatnot, to look at that number. So that's why the more we actually learn perhaps what those numbers are, that level as well as the multidimensional level, then I feel we can, you know, even further help ourselves, you know, here, living in 3D and bringing the 5D or above here. I think that really helps. So it's true, because sometimes those numbers can be very synchronistic about when they happen, how they happen, and what you were thinking prior to them happening.
Right, right. They're all pieces to the puzzle. Well, we have a caller on the switchboard that is ready with a question.
Okay.
So, to get her microphone open. And we have our dear friend Vanya from Canada calling. Vanya, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Ariel. How are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you guys as well. Hello, Nightstar. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Vanya, how are you?
Good, good. I'm sorry. I just had to call in because I've been going through a process of downloading the last few days, and then I got this email in my inbox about your show, and I almost fell off my chair because I have a very similar story to you. I just had to call in and say that I recognize a lot of what you've gone through to what I've gone through. We woke up at the same time, have the same exiting of the job world, and I do the same thing that you do. So
nice.
I'm just like blown away. It's so nice to meet someone who does this.
I know. Well, it's, you know, and I appreciate you as well going through that process, because if you were like me, I mean, it's definitely, it's sort of losing, you know, dropping all of that which you know about yourself and having to shift into your, you know, 5D self or above, or your higher self, and, you know, wow, okay, really quickly too.
Exactly. Just like a drop of the hat, yes.
So I honor you and for the courageous move, you know, that you made in there, and, you know, trying to go through all of this processes. And I think a lot of this, part of our, you know, I say our connection with the Starseed Alliance International and how we form that is to actually allow starseeds like you, me, and all the starseeds out there that feel alone and don't know, you know, they're having to do transitions and everything and feeling like very misunderstood. But it's so important to have that like-mindedness, to have that connection with other starseeds going through the same things that you might be going through, and also connecting and giving support. As we know, you know, a lot of us didn't grow up in very supportive families here in our blood families, and we find that our star families are our true families, the ones that understand us, that go through similar things, feel like, I'm not from here, I want to go home, you know, I don't know where home is, but, you know, if I find some people that feel the same way, then we can support each other here, because we have to be here for now. So I think it's wonderful, and this is how we get to learn and grow and be part of our, like I said, our starseed family. That's really, really important, because I know if you're feeling what I was feeling, like a lot of starseeds were feeling, nobody understands me, right? Nobody gets me. Why do I feel like I'm, you know, just this sore thumb, like standing in the middle of, you know, or a square peg in a round hole? I don't fit, you know, how does this? And then to find other people that feel the same way, and you're like, no wonder.
Yes.
No wonder I'm trying to fit
Absolutely.
In here.
Absolutely. I was really blessed to have very special people around me when I started birthing my channeling, my celestial channeling. It was I literally went through a birthing process that was quite odd, sort of like through the I hate to bring the correlation, but like, you know, the Psycho movie where your whole body's just doing weird shifting and
right.
things start coming out of you and you're like, what on earth am I talking about? And then all of a sudden it starts to translate in your head out of nowhere. It translates.
Right.
Translates. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, I don't even know what this all is. But the downloading,
right.
and it still keeps happening. I keep picking up things all the time. But what I wanted to ask is, I know I'm more
mm-hmm.
like a radio station. So when I'm in front of someone, working with someone, I tune into basically themselves, their higher selves, or whatever message that wants to come through, be it an ascended master, a spirit guide, or,
right.
You know, the star languages. Now, do you experience going through multiple languages kind of thing? Like there's a shift of a tonal of a female versus a male versus,
mm.
you know.
When I go through the process to do star language, for me, I feel like it's more of a, I'm not necessarily channeling a certain being. And a lot of people think that I am, but I'm actually really not a specific being. I mean, it's more, I put a lot of light and love and all that around me, and I only connect, straight to the Creator. I just mm-hmm. am very, very clear about being very clear
mm-hmm.
before I bring language or channeling or anything in. So when I tune in to, you know, the languages, it's more of a consciousness, I want to say, or it might be a collective, you know, that's why I like that term, universal, you know, mm-hmm. languages. Galactic language, because it's more of a consciousness of, say, the Pleiadian or, you know, the Andromedan or something. And I tune into that energy frequency, maybe another way to say it. I tune into that and I allow what that to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually very aware of what I'm saying. I said before that it's not translation, but I do have to know what I'm saying for in a way, like in a, I want to say, overall scope, because
mm-hmm.
that keeps it clear for me.
Right.
Because if I go off, veer off, and don't exactly know, sometimes it can, you know, be, I want to say, distorted or whatnot. But the energetics is clear, and I know, you know, I will know what I'm actually saying energetically, if that
right.
makes sense.
No,
so, yeah, it's not necessarily, although, you know, sometimes it feels feminine, you know, obviously the Pleiadian language to me obviously always feels feminine. Same with that, even the Elven, and the Elven feels, you know, rather, I want to say feminine-like, but like I was saying earlier, some of these languages that come through are very strong and sound, I want to say, more masculine, because they just,
yeah.
they don't have as much of that soothing kind of feel to them.
Right.
They have more of a very direct, assertive, you know, more of that galactic push, I want to say.
Yeah.
And Pleiadians are very, I want to say, connected with the emotions in that way, are usually very loving and very caring and very sensitive beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the first time I spoke the Pleiadian language, it was very interesting because it kind of sounded like a lullaby. And it sounded like, you know, a lullaby speaking, a mother, I want to say mother, that's why it felt feminine, but it mother to the child is
yeah.
how it came through. And
yeah.
it was really, it was made me like kind of tear up. Sometimes when I do this, it's like, wow, I can really feel that, you know?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. The energetics of it all just come flowing right through.
Yep. So do you connect with the Pleiadian energy more?
Well, I am a Pleiadian.
Yeah, I felt that. So that's why I was asking.
So, yeah, I do connect, but it's not limited for some reason. Whomever I'm with, or if it's a group of people, it's light language, or
mm-hmm.
Or it's something specific to them when I'm working with them or in front of them. Or
right.
It's a fascinating process because, I mean, one minute you're just an English-speaking person, and the next minute you're, you know, spilling out all these beautiful languages, and the energetics behind it all are so strong that it's something that you can't deny. And I for the longest time, I felt very strange about doing this
mm-hmm.
because I didn't know anybody else that did it, really. Exactly.
So
it's very comforting to, A, be around starseed, to accept the strange stuff that's coming out of your mouth, never
mm-hmm.
mind the energetics of it all, and then to know someone else is doing that out there. It's a real heart lift for me. Thank you so much.
Oh, gosh, you're welcome. And it was really lovely to have you come on and just say that and just be here. And, you know, I want to wish you as well the best on your path.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you so much. And Ariel and Lavender, you guys are always bang on with everything that you do. Thank you so much for having Lightstar on your show.
You're so welcome, sweetie.
It's
great to hear your voice again, Vanya.
It's good to hear yours. I'm going to have to connect with you soon, Ariel.
Well, you do that. And in the meantime, you are up in Canada, and I'm sure that it's very cold, so you stay warm and take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
love and
calling.
Blessings to all of you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we just love Vanya.
Next, we have
another caller who has a question for you. As soon as I get her mic open. Okay, Lisa, you're on the air with Star.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? That was so nice to hear Vanya's voice.
Oh, is this our Lisa from Canada, too?
Yes, and it's freezing cold here. It's never been this cold. People that live in the States think that we're in the North Pole here, and that's normally not the case. But I can honestly say that this winter, it feels like the North Pole.
Oh my God. God, you poor thing.
I know.
I almost feel bad because, you know, I'm here in Sedona. It's like not snowing. It's just pretty nice here.
Know.
And like, God, you guys are freezing out there.
Yeah. No, it's
well,
bad.
Your turn will come when you're melting this summer.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Probably,
for sure.
So, Lisa, your question for Lightstar.
Well, I'm not sure how to word this because I've been hearing tones in my head for years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And are they just tones, like music tones, or are words trying to come through and I can't decipher them, like... I don't get it because I've asked so many times, please speak English, you know. Or
do you hear those tones inside of your head or like more of a in your ear, like actually a high pitched tone in your ear, or is it more in
your
head?
It's a tone that goes up and down and it's more in my head.
Okay. Well, I know that cuz the thing about the toning or tones, I want to say a lot of star seeds have this where they have these high-pitched tones that come into their ear, and some of them they last, you know, just a minute or less than a minute even, and then it goes away, and then sometimes it lasts a little longer. But I will say go ahead.
I can tell you when it goes away, I notice it because I miss it after.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, it stopped. You know.
Well, tones are a lot of times they're actually downloads that you're getting, and they come into your being, into your, you know, I want to say into your head, but, you know, they come down through that passageway, and it causes a tone, and because I know that this has happened to me several times. I've had the high-pitched tones, and then they go away, and I've had the longer tones, but even just before my starseed languages came in, I can't even tell. This was very more of a longer process with the toning. I just heard this long tone, you know, and it kept going and going. And it was almost like the next day I woke up and started the languages. So that's very common when you're actually receiving some information, you know, messages, information, you know, divine light codes that are actually in translation to sounds, because vibration is how a lot of our guides and our angels and different beings around us that are trying to help us, the star beings and galactics, are trying to help us. And the way they can help us is to also allow us to hear that vibration, and it does something on the inside as well. So what I would say, too, is pay attention next time that tone comes in. Pay attention to what happens afterwards, or you might even take a notepad out right after you're hearing it and just start either writing, or if you feel like speaking something, perhaps even just record yourself or do something, because a lot of times these tones come in and we ignore them because we don't know what they are.
So yeah, because it's been going on for so long. It's just part of.
I feel they're
day.
Trying to get your attention. So when they're trying to get your attention, they sometimes have to keep it going for a while for you to finally go, oh, okay, someone's trying to get my attention. And, you know, and you'll start to learn the different tones. Like some of them are high-pitched, some of them are low-pitched. And I know that we have different ones that sound differently. And then you can identify even perhaps that higher-pitched tone might be the angelics trying to get your attention. The lower-pitched tones might be a galactic trying to get your attention. And so the more you actually track when those tones come in, what are you getting right afterwards, you know, and you start puzzling, putting the pieces together. So
I've started to do that. I've got more time on my hands now, so I start to be quiet after.
Yeah.
And nothing's happened so far.
It's okay. I would say whatever, you have to pick the right way that it comes through you at first. Like, for instance, if you're more, if you're more musically inclined, it might even want to come through musically. If you're more artistic, it might want to come through a drawing. It might want to come through you writing something. So it's sort of a process on choosing the right outlet for you, or it might just be a channeling that comes through you, voice or, you know, something in that nature. So you have to try a few different things, and it's just like anything else. When you're getting new information, it takes a little bit of time to, I want to say, assimilate, to understand how the messages come for you, right? For you, because they might be different for you than they are for me, than they are for, you know, everybody else. Everyone is unique. We all have some commonalities, but like I said, we all might hear tones, but everybody's tone might be completely different.
A different thing, yeah.
Yeah, so that means completely different thing for you. But I feel they are trying to get your attention in your external world, and so they're trying to get it through. They try to go through that way, but then now they're trying to go through the tones to try to do it. And sometimes you don't always have to know. Just know that you're getting something, and to acknowledge
it. Yeah, I do. I've been doing that.
Yeah,
I've been saying, okay, I hear you. What is it?
And just say thank you. And say thank you. Because
I think the
gratitude part of it, when you say thank you for, you know, thank you for this information, and then you can even ask, you know, help me to decipher the meaning of this or the outlet of this or just the activation of this. Sometimes, you know, we all want to figure everything out, honestly. I know. You do.
I know, I do that a lot.
But sometimes you have to just go, it is what it is. You know, I got this. I may not get it right away, but it will come. It will reveal itself if I'm aware and I thank and, have gratitude for it and allow it to come forth in the way that it's meant to come forth. Just be patient with yourself and have that gratitude. And it will come forth for you.
Mhm. Well, that's helpful. Thank you very much. I'm going to have to be more patient, I guess.
Patience is a virtue, right?
I know. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks
and
so
I really enjoy your talk. I'm going to go on your website and look through it. It looks very interesting.
Yeah, please do. Peruse around there. Lots of stuff. You can go to the gallery, which is the link, and you can check out all my artwork just on that page because it's kind of a slideshow, so it'll show you all of it. And have a magical time watching.
Thank you, Lightstar.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ariel. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and, we have another caller that wants to ask you a question.
Okay.
Where'd you go? Okay. Jane, you are on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Lightstar.
Hi, Jane.
This is so much fun. I love what you do. I wanted to just ask very quickly about the high-pitched sound you just brought up. I've been hearing it's a very high sound, and I've just been blowing it off as hearing something that's outside the natural range, but I've not really given it any thought beyond that. And I actually will close my ears to see if that makes it go away, and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasts different periods of time. So I'm kind of getting that I should take a little time and pay more attention to that. Is that kind
of... Yeah, I agree. A lot of us did. I mean, everybody did this in the beginning when they were scared. I've had this tones in my ears for, I can't tell you how many years I actually had this and did the same thing that everybody does. Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe my hearing's going out or I don't know.
Yeah,
and actually
yeah,
it's funny because
exactly.
I have supersonic hearing. Like I have, so there's, you know, I can hear a pin drop in the other room. So my hearing's not going.
Right.
I mean, so it's very much like, again, these are how the guides, the angels, the, you know, galactic beings can sometimes get our attention because
yeah.
it's hard
that's
for them
great.
To get our attention sometimes. We're not listening
yeah.
literally in any way,
yeah.
shape, or form. Sometimes we just don't get it. And they have to try to come in and kind of wake us up to, okay, we're trying to give you some information. We're trying to give you some messages. Just be aware. Or we're trying to give you an activation. Or we're trying to, you know, help you out in some way. And, you know, you're not getting it, so we're just going to
yeah.
try to give you some tones, and maybe that will help.
Well, I'm really grateful for that information because now I can do something with the tones. But that really wasn't my question. My question
okay.
was, I was wondering, because I know there different people listen to Starseed Radio at different times when we all have time, and I know there's a certain select group listening to you live right now, and I was wondering if you could perhaps get a message for us. I mean, we're all here for a reason tonight, and I thought I would love to experience how you do this language thing, if there's anyone
yes.
from anywhere where you could provide us with a little sampling and a message.
I absolutely will, because that's what
oh,
I was...
Goody.
I knew I was going to do that at some point, so now's the best time. I know no better time, right, when somebody asks.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So... What I would like to do is, because there are a lot of Pleiadians here because of the nature of Lavendar's show and all that, and I just want to kind of connect with the Pleiadian energy and bring some of that galactic language to you all, as those of you that may just connect and it just has remembrances, those of you maybe here for the first time, it may activate you and you don't even know that you're Pleiadian. I mean, sometimes that happens. So I'm going to do that. Is that okay with you guys?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so again, I just want you guys, when you're all at home or whoever's listening, just kind of, you know, you can kind of close your eyes, assuming you're not driving or anything like that, and just kind of feel the energy with your heart for the most part, okay? Just don't, you know, don't go into analytics. Just kind of feel the energy, okay? Nisai hanai, fene sanai metea, sutola me, usaina ha kinise ha, busha mane, semen hai farai, si hai namakea, sutola naima kenasea, Forai nonoso, me suturama, bisekeana, sunai mataya, sola me fenai, sonai nan tela, sutura maneha, fenise, sola meha, naihasa. Okay, so that is the Pleiadian energy.
Wow.
And what was coming from that, they were the energy, the universal language that was coming in, was actually addressing starseeds. The show is about starseeds, obviously, so most of the people listening are that. And it was really addressing for the starseeds too. It is the time to stand within your power. It is the time to stand in the truth of who you are as a love, as a being of love and light, and share that. And do not be afraid to be who you are. Do not be afraid to look within and shine your light outward, for that is what we all are to do here on the planet, to raise the vibration and the frequency. Okay, again, I'm not going word for word. I'm going as the overall message that just came in for everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. I don't know if I'm still on, am I?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to say thank you and get off then. Thank you so much. That was amazing.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was wonderful. I had goosebumps and my lips are still quivering. That's wonderful.
Oh.
Thank you.
That's funny.
Okay. I'm getting off now. Thanks a bunch.
Oh, no. It was beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you asked and that I could do this for you specifically as well as everyone because it's a lot of love. I mean, I feel the goosebumps as well when I do this.
Yeah.
And it all comes from that highest place. And that's
very
where
strong.
These
yeah.
beings are trying to help us all with that.
Yeah. Very powerful. Thank you.
So blessings on your path.
Thank you. Bye.
You bet.
Thanks so much for calling in, Jane. That was a wonderful request.
You're welcome, Ariel. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, sweetie. You know, I have to tell you that... When you started, I tried to shut down my mind, which is really hard to do when you're hosting.
I know.
But, you know, just kind of dropped down into the heart, and I what I was seeing was visual in my mind, and then when you explained, you know, the energetics of the message, I thought, wow, because I saw a single flower that was still a bud. And when the flowers started opening up, inside there was a multifaceted gemstone, and the light was reflecting in all different directions. And that was just so aligned with what you explained as the energy was. So, kind of
wow,
yeah.
That's really cool that you got a visual because, I would say a lot of Pleiadians are visual because a lot of them are artists, and you know, either that or they get music. You know, somebody probably get music. Art or all of the creative things. Now somebody will probably go write a book from this, you know, who knows, but hopefully. But it is definitely really cool how everybody gets, it gets it differently. That shows our individuality, but yet, you know, the energetics of the message is really profound. And I usually don't do the interpretation of it when I'm when I'm working with somebody or in some, you know, ways, just because sometimes when you give the interpretation, it takes away from what the person was experiencing. But in this case, since I haven't been on the show and people don't, you know, want to know, I really wanted to bring that through, and especially since it was more of a conscious, universal message for a group of people,
right.
That it was really, you know, kind of helpful to have that. And then other people, I'd love to, you know, hear what other people's experiences are because everybody's is very different. But that was a beautiful visual that you got. I love that.
Yeah, and
are you an artist? You'll have to
I'm a musician.
Take that. Well, see, now you can take that and create a music piece from that.
Yeah,
you know,
the concept of something that was kind of birthing. And when it opened up, it was like a stone of some kind with many, many, many faces, and each one had a light beam going off in all different directions, almost like the dandelion kind of fuzzy thing going off in all different directions. But it was a jewel. So
that's so cool.
That kind of image, but I really connected with what you did. So we have another caller.
Okay.
And, excuse me. Let me get your microphone open. And we're talking to Mina. Hello, sweetie.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Welcome.
I love listening to this. It's amazing how much information is coming through. So I thank you all. My question is just to see, do they also try to get your attention in, like, color? Because I see a lot of colors.
Yes. Hi, Mina. Is it Mina? Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for asking about the color because I think I mentioned it earlier is, I started doing my artwork and color was just coming in right away. And that was one of the first, you know, basically my whole – I want to say my whole life, everything I do surrounds color. So I'm a huge, you know, color person. And when I was doing, you know, intuitive readings for people as well, I always see color. specific colors around people. And what I found is that the colors that we, even sometimes when we know of a color, you know, like red, we have an association with what red means. We have an association with what blue means. We have associated, I want to say, 3D versions of what those mean, right? There's so much more information that comes through in these colors. And so, yes, when you're receiving color, and it may be a combination of colors. Like, do you see colors that aren't straight colors? There may be a little tinge of this or thrown in that or violet thrown into a, you know, green or something.
Correct.
Yeah, pay attention to those because those colors are, they're sort of a combo and almost like, I want to say, activations in themselves. And so when you see them around you, tune in to, try to say, like, bypass what the color that you think the color means. So if you think we know, rose or, you know, I want to say pink, you know, is symbolizing love and unconditional love and all of that, and it probably does have some of that in it because that is a basis. It's like the base. But what else is there? What other information are you getting, you know, from that color? And if it has, you know, a color of purple thrown in there, you know, what could that come, you know, what could that mean? And not necessarily exactly what you think it means. That's why I think a lot of the messages that have been coming through here today are bypass the analytical mind, you know, because that will trip you up and it will keep you staying in place. So the colors have meaning. And the way I feel you can get those color informations even, you know, through yourself and for yourself is through any one of those avenues that I was mentioning about writing or, you know, music or in some way, shape, or form. Like, say you were to take, I'm just going to use this as an example. Say you were having some purple coming through, some of this purple color with, like, a tinge of teal or something in it. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, I don't really know what that means necessarily, but I'm, you know, an artist or a musician, and I'm going to take that into and creating that piece. And that is what it's meant for. You know, how the expression of it comes out is what it's meant to be. So I always like to infuse those colors within me if I'm getting them. Like, if you're receiving that color, infuse that entire color. Like, sit down and have a meditation if you need to, or just do it even in a split second, is breathing in that color, like being that color.
Interesting you said that, because that's exactly what happens. It's like it's far beyond than just seeing colors. It's like I feel it in everywhere in my entire being, in my cells. It's like I'm just pulsating all these colors, and it's like, wow.
Right. And a lot of that too is if you become that color, and it makes it changes too. It's sort of like, you know, aura colors in some ways, where your aura is a certain color today, but then, you know, 6 months from now or anywhere in between, it changes based on what you're going through. So it's sort of the same with those colors. And I always tell people when I get color information for people, they're not the colors that you would normally associate as your aura color. It may be in there, but it's not associated specifically with an aura color. So the color meaning might mean, you know, you need to connect with, you know, your galactic self more, or, you know, you need to combine the earthbound, you know, and get a nature as well as connecting to your galactic self. Both, you know, there's so many different meanings that I get from a color. And so that's why I say if you're at home and having all these colors and you're actually really having it come into your system, this is where of importance to go within and receive that information. You know, I'm all about empowering other people to receive their own information, because that is going to be where you're going to get the biggest transformations. That's where you're going
to
get the
yourself, right?
Yeah, if I tell you, I mean, it's helpful to hear it, but then I always encourage people to go within and, you know, do their own homework on that and get their own, you know, more information behind that. And you know, that's where you can really do those transformations. So, but yes, I mean, color is huge. You know, I say that the frequencies come where they're trying to get your attention in sound. They're trying to get your attention through color. And a lot of times what? It's also in music as well.
Right,
it's also in writing or on the radio. You know, there's so many ways they try to get your attention, and it's about you, you know, really honing in and being aware as much as you can.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for sharing all that beautiful information.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really appreciate everything you all do. So thank you so much, and blessings to all of you, okay?
Blessings to you. Be the beautiful colors that you are.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks so much, Mina. Bye-bye. Well, looks like we're going to have one more caller with a question, and they're just not quite ready yet.
Okay.
But... Is there anything that you would like to talk about for a minute while we're waiting?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, I think I briefly mentioned it, but there are some, you know, really, one thing that I think I forgot to mention is if people want to sign up on my mailing list on my website, it's basically on every page, so they actually will receive a free desktop image of one of my images called Evening in Space. So it's just to be used for desktop purposes only, but if they wanted to go sign up, that's just a little freebie that people can get for just, you know, signing up for my mailing list. And also, if people wanted to get a hold of me, I'm on Facebook. As you can look on Facebook, my Facebook page is just under Lightstar. You might have to look up Susan Crystal Lightstar is my profile, and you can get a hold of me that way. And I usually post a lot of things that I'm doing or giving away free or, you know, discounts or whatnot on my Facebook page. So it's a good way to take a look at the information. And like I said, another way is just through the Team Light videos that we put on. And we love doing those. These are videos that really are helpful because people can send in their questions and we basically answer them in a panel. So... and this is all topics having to do with star seeds, ascension, light body, channeling, psychic, shielding. You've got all sorts of different things that have to do with, you know, what star seeds always want to know. So that's we produce it on and then put it on a YouTube channel afterwards. And the next one's coming up this coming Sunday. So you can also go onto my Facebook page. There's a link there and people can go on there and listen to it. It's really, really helpful. It gives a lot of information about what's going on and a lot of people that are very lost and confused, that it's one way for them to get their answers, you know, or questions and different perspectives from different people as well. So that's something
great.
That we love doing. And we usually do it once a month. It's Sundays at 11 a.m., so easy to remember.
Right. Well, our caller is ready now, so I'm going to bring Joan on the air. Hi, Joan. You're on the air with Light Star.
Hi. This is exciting.
Yes, it is.
My question is, would you be willing to share with us what the Andromedan language sounds like?
Oh, yeah. Andromedan language is awesome. This language is one of the first languages that actually came, and it's a bit like the language that comes from, is it Avatar? Yeah, I think it's the languages in Avatar is the best way I can kind of describe it. So it's a bit, primitive in some ways, or almost, you know, like a native culture or something. But it's very beautiful, but... It's also got more of that sort of, you know, a native tone to it. But yeah, I would love to share that with you. So same kind of thing as before, where you're just gonna, you know, kind of sit there in your place where you are and just tune into the heart space and just kind of relax with it all and let go of the analytical mind and anything that might want to critique what this means or that means. Just kind of allow that to, you know, kind of fade. And just kind of let me breathe in, tune in myself here. Akash etonos. Iki anasaket suna amates. Inse ikinasa esa ana eta ini ise
awasa ikina anaiso oma e akashi no uto esa iki ewa amasa ateana tena kina aso uto mekina asa ata eme iki asa ame tuna sa aki no so oma aki kina satane tu sa aki imikia so okum tu suma kumate Kini se iki ikina, suna aimi ki ihisha. Te ikina asana ea, tsana ena, ana amase. Iki nasa ewa, ewa sa make, ki nasa akewa. Te ite nasa ata enit. Te suta ana kia, ki se emaka, te nasa akena, te nasa ena. Punoso amaena sa kenea sata anaki nasa okuna neise ne kuma bena tasae ne ka amasa eke ishi aka mata punoso na amaki te ise unasa menasai ha tu sanat bezni ikia sumae eta.
Okay, that was the Andromedan, and what they come in to share is really about, I feel it more, I will say, in the heart space, but it's actually connecting, I want to say, the heart with creator source. There's a lot of connection with the earth and the heart, and it's almost like I get this sort of triangle. It's not a triangle, like a line. If the line was going from creator to your heart, and then down into the earth, so it was trying to. I always say they, but it's really more of the collective. Like I was saying before in the Andromedan, the connection between creator, your heart, and the earth. Okay, that's bringing it all together. So it was about this whole circle and this whole cycle of, connection with God, creator, connecting that with your body, your physical body, and then down into the earth, which is very important for a lot of starseeds, as they're actually telling through that, is the grounding process. The Andromedan language, to me, is very, I want to say it's very grounding. So there's a lot of forces that come in to help you to pull your starseed nature into the body here so that you can actually do what you need to do here. Because that's a problem with a lot of starseeds. They're very much, I don't want to say airy-fairy, that kind of woo-woo, but sometimes a bit too much in their home realm, I want to say. Which is great because obviously we all want to be there probably more so, but we have to be here, right? We have to do what we have to do here. And so they're helpful because they actually connect that earth, God, to the body. And it's really powerful. So that's why, sometimes I'd actually speak that language, it comes across as even more powerful, like it's more of that primitive language. This time it wasn't so much because they probably don't want to freak you guys out or anything. But it came in as a very strong grounding, force for us, or the message was that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I've been speaking that language, and I heard it spoken back to me. That was awesome.
That's awesome.
I have been neglecting it, and now I know why. It's really important that I keep doing it.
It is. It's so important. It's so important that you acknowledge that, and you acknowledge yourself, that it's giving, I want to say it's kind of giving you the confidence to go forward and don't worry.
I have wanted to know for years what this language is, and now I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I've had somebody come up to me that was very, I was speaking some language they didn't know what it was, and someone actually told them, you need to just go over and talk to Lightstar, just see what, just tell her and see what she gets. And honestly, the person was speaking so fast, it was like, ripping out there. It was really, really fast, like lightning speed kind of thing. And she's very, very shy and didn't, you know, really was embarrassed, you know, that this was coming through. And it came through a ceremony that she did. And she just started speaking that, which, by the way, a lot of times those languages come through when you are in a sacred ceremony because you've all done this before. And most of the time it was in those sacred ceremonies. So that recall comes through. But this woman started speaking it so fast. And honestly, a lot of times that first language, not always, but a lot of times it's going to be your either your primary language, where you're from, or that original mantra language that I told you about earlier. That was the first one that came to me when I was 9. So that's where it's just, you know, the clarity of where it comes from or all of that, and it's just, you know, allowing that to come through. And at first, you know, feeling how you feel when you speak it. How does it make you feel? You know, and really connecting with that and allowing it to come through, because, you know, I feel like at some level, I don't know when or what time this may happen, I don't know, but this is going to be a natural thing for us to just speak in these languages because we are all from other places, you know, and it's almost like that, I love that scene in Star Wars where they're in the, I think it was the first one, but they're in the bar scene with all those different beings, you know, just hanging out and, you know, drinking and doing whatever, but they're in the scene. It's like, you know, everybody's talking a different language probably, and somehow some people are understanding it. I mean, this is really what it's like. This is what we are. And the more we bring these languages through, the more we allow them to be here and be okay and allow, you know, ourselves to speak them. And instead of like, oh, it's just gibberish, oh, it's just nothing, you know, blowing it off like, I don't know, I'm crazy or something. It's like, well, no, you're not. But it's just we don't have any basis here on the 3D plane to say, yeah, that's okay. That's what that is. That's your true nature. So I always encourage people, you know, do speak the languages and to move past that barrier, you know, of, oh, this is not right, or, oh, I shouldn't do this, or it sounds weird, or I don't know what it is, so I'm not going to speak it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just open the doors.
So, yeah, I encourage you to speak it, and I'm really glad that hit with you, hit home, and that hopefully now you can speak that language and feel good about it.
I used to do it more, and then I moved to where I have neighbors, and I was afraid they'd hear me, so I got.
Oh yeah,
quiet.
Especially if it's going to be more of the language that's loud. You should hear when I do my angelic toning. It is like loud. Yeah, so I have to deal with that here, and the fact that, you know, it comes through like a really loud tone, and it's all over the place in terms of it's going high, low, everywhere, and it's not quiet. So that's the one that I had to get past that, too. I'm like, well, you know what? It's okay. If my neighbors hear me, you know, they probably don't even know. Your neighbors will probably think it's on TV or radio that you're listening to or something. Or maybe they'll come over and go, what are you doing? And then you can speak it to them, and it'll unlock something for them. You know, you never know.
Yep.
Great. Well, Joan, thank you so much for calling, and it was a great request. And we have one more caller that we're going to try to get to. So thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Joan. I appreciate it. Many blessings.
Blessings to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, we only have a few more minutes, but I want to try to get one more caller because it is Felipe. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Starseed family. It's such a privilege and an honor to connect back with you.
Hi.
You're again.
Hi, Lightstar. It's Amber. I am a member of the Starseed family here, dear, close to my heart, with Lavendar, Ariel, and everyone else.
Awesome.
Having been on the program for a while. I really honor you for what you do and who you are. Everything you have said tonight, it resonates 100% in my heart.
Aww,
I want to make a couple comments and throw in my 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You're talking about sacred geometry because everything in creation is light that generates sound and vibration. And that's why it's all geometric and it's perfect and it's also accurate because that's the way creation is built. Mm-hmm. The two cents that I want to throw in here when you was bringing all these languages and so forth, I'm very familiar with the our stars, you know, brothers and sisters from Sirius to Pleiades, Arcturians, and so forth. What is happening right now as a civilization, we're pretty much taught as a universe. But now, not anymore for us, star seeds, that we are already awakening to our original star, essence of who we really are as multidimensional beings. We're awakening to the omniverse and the multiverse of creation, where everything after 5D is fully telepathic. Mm-hmm. We will not have to use our vocal cords to express the love and light that comes out of our hearts. So that's what I just wanted to share with everyone in the Starseed family, that it's just a transition period that we're going through right now, from the awakening, from the slumber of so many, you know, eons of time that we have come down here into 3D and work into this huge project and experiment of Mother Gaia here, because it's not only the planet Earth that is ascending and awakening into another higher dimensional state of evolution. The entire solar system and the entire galaxy and the omniverse is ascending to a higher level of consciousness that Creator has orchestrated eons before we even knew about this. So it's beautiful what you're doing, and that's why we're connecting to our technology today, internet and phone lines and so forth. But more than that, I think we're connecting to a deeper level of consciousness of the oneness of who we really are, where we come from, where we've been, and where we headed. So it's just, to me, it just generates the deepest and the most powerful love and joy into my heart. Mm-hmm. And I just love you all, and I thank you for who you really are. And the best is yet to come, because it's just, the veils are already thinning so much that there will be no veils pretty soon. And we will be reunited with all our real true family. Right now we're connecting ourselves down here on 3D. But pretty soon, you know, this is millions of ships on our atmosphere here on Earth, and they're, you know, all through the solar system. Our brothers and sisters on inner Earth are just desperate, and they're excited to be reunited with us. So I just want to share that with all of you and say the joy that is expressing this is beyond all understanding. Thank you very much, and namaste to everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Felipe, for sharing that. It was beautiful, and I really appreciate that. And I agree. You know, I honestly, the telepathy thing, really, we are going to that. Some of us can already do that now. But if you think about it, that's where we get to do the cleanup phase before we actually, you know, if we were full telepathic, you know, think about some of the things that you think, or, you know, if somebody and everyone knew what you were thinking, right? Oh, my gosh, you know, maybe we need to do a little bit of cleanup about our thoughts before we, you know, want to share them with the world. And that's a transition, the bridge, you know, that we're making too. But I agree, we're all going to be at a level of communication with each other that's going to go way beyond what we communicate now as. And we just are in the bridge phase of that. You know, we're bridging, you know, when we go to, you know, galactic languages and other languages, some of these beings already do communicate like that. That's how they communicate, is just by telepathic. You know, the there's a language that I do that's the fairy language that's actually so much that I can't even verbalize it. It's more like a whisper. So I have that. It's like really so almost telepathic that it's barely audible. So there's so much that we are going to be moving in that leap and jump, and I'm excited. I want to, you know, the faster we do this, the better for all of us as far as I'm concerned. So, but thank you very much for your sharing. That was beautiful.
Thank you
so
much.
It's my pleasure. Everything is perfect timing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Well, speaking of timing, we're just about out of time, but Felipe, great to hear you as always. Thanks for calling.
My pleasure.
Hi. Thank you.
So we are at the end of the show here, and if you would please just one more time, Lightstar, your websites are?
Yeah. LightstarCreations.com or SusanGoldwag.com. They'll both get you to the same place. And then you can get to my store by either clicking on store or just store.SusanGoldwag.com. And our other website that we have about our starseed information is StarseedAllianceInternational.com. And you should be able to find out all the information, and you can connect with me, like I said, on Facebook, Lightstar, or Susan Crystal Lightstar, and you can, you know, send me a message or on Facebook or even on my contact form if you want to contact me as well. And it was really, really awesome to be on the show. Great, great energy. I love listening to the content that you guys have on here, too. It's just so needed.
Well, it is our honor and privilege to be doing this and to have people like you as our guest. So I want to thank you on behalf of everyone here. Lavendar, we only have about 2 minutes left. Did you have any thing that you want to say, or just have a good week, everybody?
I would like to, you know, I heard some time ago the Lord's Prayer done in Aramaic, and I was just wondering if the Pleiadians would give us their rendition of the Lord's Prayer. If that comes to you at some time, please call me, and I'd love to hear it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'll have to tune into that.
Okay, thank
that's
you.
That's awesome. Thanks, Lavendar, for having me here.
Well, it is our pleasure, and on behalf of everyone here at Starseed Radio Academy, this has been a delightful evening with Lightstar. Do check out the websites, and we will be back next week. Lightstar, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, everybody. And again, Starseed blessings to all on your journey, and we will speak soon.
We'll have you come back on any time that you like.
Okay. I'd love to. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful and blessed evening. And stay warm, please.
Yeah. And we will see you all or hear you all next week, same time. And thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.